Good evening. Welcome to the show. It's time to talk football with the Radio City legends, Liverpool and Everton fans. We want to hear from you tonight. I'm Mick Coyle, in for Steve Hoversall. We've got Sharpie and Don Matteo in the studio tonight. Blues, do you feel shortchanged from the 2-1 defeat at Old Trafford? Was it a penalty? And do you think the team are lacking firepower? Reds, it was a walkover in the end against Cardiff, but is Klopp getting his starting 11 changes right? And should Fabinho be a starter? 0151 472 0967. Come on board the phones tonight. We'll get plenty of Reds and Blues lined up. You could be part of it too. You can tweet the programme too. Use the hashtag Radio City Legends. But the phone lines are open now. 0151 472 0967. Let's say good evening to Don Matteo and Graham Sharp. Gents, great to see you both.
Good evening.
Lots going on, lots to talk about as well. A couple of major talking points on the weekend. We've got to reflect on, of course, the news of Glenn Hoddle. We wish him very well. And Glenn Hoddle, some of you've had interactions with in your career.
Met Glenn over the years. Great football mind, great footballer. And yeah, just hopefully he's on the mend now and can get back, you know, fighting fit. Great football mind, great football in person. I think, to be fair, personally, he should have been more involved still in football, but away from, you know, he's doing the commentary and the analysis and stuff. But for me, great footballer and great coach.
Absolutely. And we've got to touch on Leicester City. Everybody at that football club, supporters, the Leicester City family, we wish them all the very best. Sharpie, sometimes these things happen in football and you can't understand the reasons why they happen, but they do happen, and it's just absolute tragedy.
Dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. You know, you hear everybody talking about it today and what a wonderful guy he was. And it's not just the owner, you know, the other people lost their lives as well. So it was a really sad occasion, but a remarkable man by all accounts, and not just at the football club, but at the local community as well. I think he put money into hospitals and education and everything else. So, listen, he was a fabulous man. It's a massive loss, not just to his family and to Leicester, but to the whole football world as well. I don't think anybody had a bad word to say about him. He was a really affable guy. And as I said before, it's not just him, obviously, the pilot and the co-pilot and the assistant. So, really sad times, and you wouldn't think that would happen at a football game, you know, but he used to come in, week out in a helicopter. That was part of what he'd done, and it was tragic, absolutely tragic.
I think that's one of the things as well, Dom, that sometimes, you know, we use football, don't we, as a means of escaping some of the things we're worried about in life. It's maybe why when some of these things happen in real life involving footballers, they seem to hit us quite hard, don't they?
They do. I think they're coming together. Oh, after the weekend's been quite phenomenal as well. You know, he's been Everton, Liverpool shirts, all different teams, you know, local teams to Leicester, Derby, Notts Forest, all these clubs have all been united outside the ground, and that brings the football family together and just puts it all into perspective, doesn't it? You know, a great man, great for the city, what he did. He gave him a little bit of somewhat of a dream. Maybe the Leicester fans didn't believe, but he actually made it come true for him as well. So, yeah, it's a real sad day, and a sad day for football, and, you know, it's going to be tough for those Leicester people and the players and the families and everyone going forward, because it's still very raw.
Onwards with the football from this weekend. Oh, Sharpie, the Blues. I know a lot of Everton fans who fancied this one. They really fancied going to Old Trafford, given the way United are having this up and down season, fancying to get something from the game.
I think they went there expectations raised simply because the football that they're seeing now is a little bit more on the front foot. I think in years gone by, they went to Old Trafford and Arsenal and places like that and didn't really play. You know, just looked as if to shut up shop and try and get away with a point. I think they were looking forward to the fact that they would have a go. And certainly they started the game well, you know, but just wasn't to be on the day. Listen, disappointing to lose, of course it is. But listen, looking back in the game as well, we had chances. You know, we had a lot of chances in the final third. We just probably weren't good enough. I said before the game, there was a big decision to make, whether to play Richarlison through the middle or put him on left. For me, I think it's a specialised position. And I don't think you can just expect to throw him in the middle and say, get on with it, and he's going to play that position the way that you want him to do it. I think he was up against two big defenders. He's a big lad himself, Richarlison, but that's not his game. You know, back to goal, you know, try to link play, try to get hold of it, fight off two defenders. He's better out on the left-hand side. So I was surprised at the formation. I thought he might have changed it and put in Tosin, but he didn't. But even in saying that, we had the chances. But I have to say it, and I hate saying it again, we talk about it week in, week out. Where have they got that referee from? Where have they got?
Hang on, if anyone had 5 minutes, 20 seconds on Radio City Legends bingo tonight.
I was driving to the game and I was just thinking as the radio was on, and I think I was listening to another game, I can't remember. And I was just thinking, I watched Match of the Day and I'm looking over the games at the weekend and I thought, I've not heard the name of John Moss. I'm thinking, surely to goodness, we can't be having. And I got to the ground and I looked and I thought, oh my God. So I knew right away something would happen. Look at the penalty. It wasn't a penalty, but not just that decision, but Smalling. Idrissa Gueye conceded the penalty. It should have been a second yellow card if he's conceded the penalty and that would have been him sent off. He didn't. Then Smalling commits a foul and a penalty. That should have been a second yellow card. And it's just some of the decisions he made were just incredible. We talk about it on this show every single week. And I said before, he's not a Premier League referee. He's not fit to it. I don't think he can get up with the game. I don't think he's fit enough. And I know the referees do all these fitness tests and checks and you've got to do this. I still don't care. He can't keep up with the game. He's not fit enough to ref the Premier League. For me, definitely not.
Well, joining us on the line now, here he is. Now he's not.
Yeah, good. I'll tell him to his face.
Do refs sometimes do that? They realise they've made a mistake, they even it out. So we should have sent the player off with the second bookable. So
we always think that as players or fans. I mean, I was at a Championship game at the weekend, and believe me, the refereeing's a hell of a lot worse in the Championship than the Premiership. So you won't count your lucky stars at times because it's frustrating. But I think the standard isn't the best, is it, all round? But listen, if we've got VAR there at the weekend, there's no issue, is there? With certain things.
Well, how does VAR view the penalty, the Martial penalty, when he goes down?
Yeah, when I first seen that incident, I straight away thought penalty. Not just because it was Everton, and it's at Old Trafford. You know, you think they're always going to get the home team getting the big decisions. I thought penalty. Watching it back a few times, then you still think, watching VAR, like you're going to say, is it conclusive? It's not a penalty as well. Graham's saying it's not a pen.
He's won the ball. He's won the ball first.
It just looked awkward, didn't it? I'm going off what the rest of you, but if it's VAR, would VAR said no goal straight away?
Yeah, but you know the worrying thing for me? The referee, Dermot Gallagher, his quote was, he won the ball, but not enough of the ball. What's that? Where are we going with that? He's won the ball, but not enough? So much of the ball has he got to win?
When he touches the ball, he gets a little nick on the ball, but actually Martial's left foot then carries the ball actually in the same direction Martial was moving in the first place.
Still going forward, you
He's still moving forward, and arguably he's going to carry on moving with the ball, but he goes over because of the leg that comes out.
But you look at Martial's reaction, and I tell you what...
It was just a bit... the clocks went back, so it was a bit of a delay.
Yeah. You look at Martial's reaction, and I tell you another thing, which get on here on my high horse. That Umar Nias got done at Crystal Palace... and got a 2-game ban. Martial, what's the difference?
He gets a touch, doesn't he?
Oh, who gets a touch?
Martial gets a touch, doesn't he?
No, he's won the ball. Idrissa Gueye's won the ball, hasn't he?
Yeah, but you're allowed to fall over, right?
Ass fell over.
Did he not tackle with the wrong leg for me? You know, maybe if because it just seemed like he came with the wrong leg.
Tom, I don't think that there's not a rule to say you've got to tackle with a certain
leg. But for me, that just makes it look awkward. So you're giving the referee an opportunity to give the penalty.
But if the referee's not 100% sure, he shouldn't give it.
I think. Do you not think he was sure?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
I think he looked at it.
Well, that shows you how bad he was. That shows you how bad he was. If he doesn't see that, he's the closest thing to it. But I just think it. But Nias has got done for that. So what I'm saying is, Martial's reaction afterwards. He's not sure. He's thinking to himself, I could get booked for diving here. You know, because he's not come up screaming, shouting, it's a penalty kind of thing. He's just kind of looked at the referee. No, I'm not having him.
We're going to go to the phones in just a sec. But Dom, you, one of your former teams, Leeds United, were involved in a refereeing decision and a half where they got an equaliser against Nottingham Forest. Sharpie, that was a worse handball than the Henry handball for France, wasn't it?
It was pretty bad, but I was pretty happy it went in. No, it was. It was a bad decision. But like I say, I mean, the referees in the Championship, this is the difference, is the game never flows in the Championship. It stops, start, literally all the time. Even when you've got two teams, like Forest and Leeds, to be fair, they try and play. It was stop, start, all game. It's horrible to watch at times. But the referee never helped that. And obviously, it was a big call. I mean, Pantilimon, the goalkeeper, was legging it over to the touchline, saying it's a definite handball. He consulted the linesman, who's also had a decent view of it, and both decided... It wasn't, and you know, Leeds got the goal.
But what happens next week? He'll have a game to referee.
Yeah.
What happens if that was a player? He'd be dropped. Doesn't happen. It's wrong.
01514720967. We're going to start with the Reds. We've got Dan on the line. Evening to you, Dan. You're on with Dom, Matteo and Graham Sharp.
Evening, fellas. You all right?
Hi, Dan.
Yeah, to be honest, Dom, I'm thinking about the reaction both in the game and afterwards. It's been a little bit concerning, I think, in that I think there's been quite a lot of anxiety and a lot of, in some quarters, anger from certain Liverpool fans about the way they went about the game on Saturday. And I think we're a little bit in danger of not taking this season in isolation. You know, I think there's a lot of fans pining for last season, and I think that we have to take this Liverpool for what it is and all the benefits and the positives that are coming from it. You know, if you look at the league table, that's title winning form up to now, and I think when you look at Saturday's game, you've got people saying, well, it takes us until the last 5-10 minutes to turn the screw. Well, you've got to look at a side that comes to Anfield and play the back seven, yeah, and had no intention of letting Liverpool get to the byline, because that's what they've done against Belgrade all through the week. So,
yeah,
you know, there's a side there as well. You know, the time wasting at 2-0, the time wasting at 3-1.
Yeah.
They're not interested. The line down for Liverpool, and you know, I think we've got to give Liverpool credit for what they're doing here. And I think if you do want last season Liverpool so much, then you might have to cop that game being a draw on Saturday, because Liverpool took 9 points in 9 games from relegated teams last season.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a development in this side, and I think if you look at any United side from the 90s, look at any 4-1 victory they had, they'd probably scored 2 in the last 5 somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think you're spot on. Listen, we're lying top of the league. I know tonight's game's not kicked off yet, but I think overall the squad looks very solid. We can see, what, 4 goals all season in the league, 26 points, sitting top of the league as we speak, scored 20 goals. I mean, it's not a bad, you know, bad tally, that, is it? And I think we've obviously tinkered with the team a little bit. He's got Fabinho into the side, who I think will turn out to be a really good player for us. He was desperate to get Lallana back into the team to give him some game time as well. Robertson at left back is so instrumental for us. I think he thought it was time to give him a little rest as well and bring Moreno in. I know he's not a fan's favourite, but it was the right game to do it. I think he's just finding, he's obviously, I don't think he knows he's probably his best 11 for me, if you know what I mean. I think there's a couple of positions that are up for grabs. I think the back four for me would be Trent, Gomez, Van Dijk and Robertson. And then I think when you get into the midfield area, and forgetting the front three, because we all know that is, I still think that's the one area that we can, there's still play positions up for grabs. So I think he deserves a lot of credit in the way he's used them all. And especially, you know, Milner was on the bench at the weekend, and obviously Henderson wasn't involved. And there's not been, I've always felt a little bit worried when one of them two hasn't played. But with the form of Wijnaldum and Fabinho now coming into the side, I just think it shows the strength in the squad that we have. And you're right, I think last season we might have struggled to get certain results over the line. We're not firing on all cylinders at the moment, but I tell you what, we're still scoring plenty of goals. We're not conceding many. Alisson's been a huge difference in goal. He's a talker. And Van Dijk again. They're the two that have to start every week for me. They're the two the two big ones for me. And then the front three take care of themselves. They're all fit. I just think, what would you off middle, if you're going to play 4-3-3? I know he slightly changed it the weekend. He went 4-2-3-1 at the weekend. But who would your three be in midfield if everyone's fit?
I mean, I think there was a lot made of the fact that it's at the start of the season, it's Milner, Henderson and Wijnaldum. But
yeah.
I think you've got to look at that from a manager's point of view. You know, if you're bringing Fabinho into the squad, you've got to say to him,
yeah,
these lads got me to a Champions League final last year.
Yeah.
You know, this is the level, and they were performing fine. You know, they went to Tottenham and won, they went to Leicester and won, Palace and won. So for me, I think it would be that. I think you're right in that we've seen a slight tweak in the shape with Fabinho coming in. I think he wants to put someone next to him because he's got a tendency to drop in and split the centre half. So it's done, you know yourself from playing. It's different acts. You know, it's different horses for different courses with games. And I think what we've tried to do in this block of fixtures coming back off the last international break, where they have been easy fixtures for Liverpool, I think he's looked at, you know, getting those players in, tweaking the formation, having a look at a few different things.
Yeah, definitely.
But as well, you know, as well, he's got to be a different man to different people at any one time. So he's got to be having conversations.
I just think he's Dan, I think he's managing the squad very well at the moment. I don't think there's anyone that unhappy at Liverpool. I know there'll be a few of the younger lads, you know, Solanke, people like that, who aren't up to speed anyway. But he's bought some players in for big money, on big wages. He's had to give them some game time, because if we do get injuries, which we will get, the players that we've just talked about there, like the likes of Fabinho coming in, he can do a good job in the central midfield. And other players as well, Shaqiri, we know he can come in. I was surprised Shaqiri didn't start ahead of Lallana at the weekend, but like I just said, Lallana's been wanting that game time, that minutes on the pitch and that consistency. So I just think the manager's doing a good job and the team's very consistent and performances haven't been outstanding as they were at times last year, but I think there's more to come.
All right, Dan, thanks for the call, pal. Appreciate it. Yes, Dan, kick us off for the Reds, 0151 472 0967. I mean, Liverpool being out of the League Cup is a bit of a problem in terms of maybe those are the sort of games you play around with your squad. But it was Cardiff City at home. So there are no gimmies in the Premier League, of course. But actually, that is a game where Moreno plays. That is a game where you make a bit more of an experimental lineup, isn't it?
I think because of the confidence we have, especially at home. We hadn't conceded at home for a lot of games as well. It was the first goal at home for a long time, wasn't it? And I just think there's a bit of more stability about Liverpool in all aspects. And I think Van Dijk, as I mentioned, and Alisson have brought that confidence now they have within the squad. But I think whichever team that the gaffer had picked at the weekend should be able to beat Cardiff. I know Graham might. I'm not saying Cardiff's ever. It's no easy game.
You've still got to beat them.
Still got to beat them, but I think there's enough quality. If you look in that squad there and international players, you know, we've got what? Mane, Firmino, Lallana, and Salah all still starting, you know, against Cardiff. It's still pretty formidable.
The thing is with Liverpool over the last couple of years is teams have come to Liverpool and parked a bus and they've struggled to break them down. That ain't happening. Yeah. That never happened last year. Now, Cardiff, as you said, was so negative. They knew what they were going to do. It was just a matter of patience. We just having to be patient. And as you quite rightly said, he scored two goals late on and people say, and Warnock comes out and says, it distorts the way we played. No, it doesn't. You know, Liverpool were always going to win that game. We just had to be patient. Player for player, they're far better. Listen, you get upsets in football, but I couldn't see that being an upset on Saturday, and I think Liverpool were always favourites to win that game and were always going to win it.
0151 472 0967. The Radio City Legends are here. We're going to talk about that Paul Pogba penalty run-up. If Aldo was here, we could actually talk about penalty run-ups, you know, where
don't
you had a stuttering start.
We spoke about it before, and Aldo's wasn't as bad as that. Aldo's was one step.
That was next level. We'll talk about that here on Radio City Legends. My name's Mick Coyle. The Radio City Legends are here in for Aldo. We've got Dom Matteo. We've got Graham Sharp talking all things blue. We're going to talk blues now with Paul in McGull. Evening to you, Paul. You're on with Sharpie and Dom.
Evening, boys. We all right?
All right, Paul.
Sharpie, Mr. Walcott again. How many chances does he need? I've said this on many occasions as you'll back me up, mate. When we first signed him, I wasn't sure because he's a 1 in 8 player for me. You know what I mean? And when he does do well, you're like that. Why can't he perform all the time? But yesterday epitomised the really, really bad side of it. The ball played into him down the line for Seamus and he tried a little schoolboy flick. Worse than that, mate, he didn't even track back. They ended up getting the penalty off it. Okay, I'm not directly blaming him for it, but he should have kept hold of it. But the second one, Seamus was absolutely ripping him.
Yeah.
He stood and watched while Martial just steals that 2 yards of space. It's not good enough, mate. I'd rather have young Lukman, who we fought tooth and nail to keep hold of, and we're giving him like 10s and 5 minutes and all that. Let him have a run.
It's infuriating
me.
Yeah, listen, I don't know if he's maybe not 100% fit, you know, but I think what he gives you pace down that right hand side. Listen, he had a chance yesterday where maybe he should have crossed it. Listen, it wasn't just him. The boy Bernard went round the goalkeeper, sat the hair down and hit the side net where he could maybe have picked out Walcott in the middle. So there was opportunities in the final third yesterday, Paul, that we didn't take. It wasn't just him. But overall, I just think he didn't have a great game. I think they attacked us down that side. I think Martial got at Seamus a little bit as well. But again, Seamus is just coming back from an injury. It's going to take him a little bit of time to get back to where he was. But I don't think that was necessarily the problem. I just think our problem yesterday was that we never had anybody as a central striker who could get a hold of it and give us a little bit of respite. I thought we generally played well, Paul. I thought we played well. I thought Boy Gomez did well, second half especially. But I just think that we're lacking, and that's why I was surprised that Tosin didn't play. We're lacking an out-and-out striker. And Boy Richarlison tries hard, but for me, he's not a number nine, if you like. I think he does his best jobs out on the wing. And I think that's why I maybe would have, maybe I went with Tosin or possibly Calvert-Lewin yesterday to give us a natural number nine. So that was a disappointing thing because I thought we'd done enough in the game to get something from it.
No, I totally agree with you, mate. But I wasn't saying like it was Walcott's fault
no.
for the game. It's form over a period of time, mate. Which he's got to pull up trees for me, mate. Because you know what I mean. It's just one of them things with him. But the other side of it, I know we spoke about Moss. What an absolute goon that man is. But no, the worst thing for me, right? They bought this rule in a few years ago about dragging and holding. What infuriated me yesterday, how many times, like, if Gomez got the ball and whoever, he went past players, he played the advantage, right? It broke down, and we never got the ball back for the foul. Every time the Manx got it, they got a free kick. I was, like, screaming. Is this a double rule or something? Oh. And going back to what you boys said before, right? Yes, Dom, I agree with you that Idrissa went with the wrong leg.
Yeah,
he's won the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Since we're in football, you win the ball. If there's a secondary phase where the fella goes over your leg, is that a foul?
No, you win the ball.
Mm-hmm. End off.
Just when I watched the game on the telly, I just my instinct was straight away, not because it was Everton, just from a defensive point of view, I just thought
wrong leg.
Yeah, wrong leg penalty. It looked awkward. That's why he's giving it. Having seen it again, I'd probably maybe change my opinion, but. Yeah, he did get the ball, and it's an argument we'd have all day. And even if we had VAR, could we sort it out that quickly? Even looking at VAR there, Sharpie, you know, it's
I think nice. if it was in VAR, and I'm not a great advocate of that, Dom, but I think if we had that, I think if they looked at it, they would have said he's won the ball. As it happened, I was doing the commentary, I said, no, I didn't think so. Then it immediately came on the screens kind of thing, and then I thought, from the screens, I thought, he's got the ball first. I don't think there was any doubt in my mind that he'd got the ball first. Listen, I understand you stick your leg out in the penalty box, you're giving the forward the opportunity to go down. But I just
the game's changed that much, Sharky. It is becoming a non-contact sport. And I thought Mr. Souness was absolutely brilliant yesterday.
Yeah, he was great, wasn't he?
When that fella turns around, he goes, whoever he said the referee's name before, Dom, I can't remember, but he said it's a penalty. And Souness, he went, in my opinion, it wasn't a penalty. Yeah. And the fella come back. He went, he's got a wealth of experience as a referee. He went, I've got a wealth of experience as a player.
Yeah.
And I just thought, good on you. The rules are ridiculous, mate. Go back to good full contact. No, here's your first one.
Paul, don't you blame the players for that then?
To a degree, Sharpie, but let's be honest, the way the referees are like, implying these things now, you know what I mean? I mean, it's like, go back to that one, the classic, what they said the other week, Dyer, the England international. Yeah. In this day and age, I can see why he's being booed. In the good old days, that was like, oh, there's your sweetener, you know what I mean? You're on the park, you're in the challenge.
Yeah, it has changed, but I think, you know, and listen, we are really, really critical of the referees, but I think sometimes...
You are.
Yeah, I am, yeah, but sometimes I think players... I think, to be fair, it has become harder... Players don't help with the way to try to con them. Listen, we try to con them in our day, but not to the extent where you're diving and rolling about kind of thing.
Hard. You know, going back to the Walcott thing, I think on the day it looked like Coleman was having a bit of an hard time against Martial. You know, if as a wide lad and he's an experienced international player, I'd just sit in front of Coleman and help
him. Well, soon as killed him,
help
for that.
him out after the game, didn't he?
Yeah, and he said he's 29 years of age. You should know how to do that. But a manager would have given him that information, wouldn't he?
I was talking to Eddie Gray at Leeds at the weekend, and we talk about football and intelligence. Managers can't always tell players what to do all the time. You just got to sometimes work it out yourself on the pitch. I mean, that my fullback's having a hard day here. You know what? I'm going to get forward when I can, but when it's needed, I'm going to make it difficult for them to get the ball to
Martial. And this is somebody who's 29. This is not somebody who's 19.
And you can't keep making excuses for that.
All right, Paul, thanks for the call.
Cheers,
Paul. Paul McGull is a Blue. Let's go over to the Reds. We've got Stephen Walton. Steve, I think, has got one eye on the game tonight. Evening to you, Steve. You're on with Sharpie and Dom.
Hi, Sharpie. Hi, Dom.
Hi, Steve. Hi, lad.
Yeah, just wanted Dom's thoughts on tonight's game. Obviously, it's a difficult one because Man City are not dropping that many points. And now the Liverpool, it's a bit cat and mouse between us, both of them on. But I'd expect Tottenham to, you know, to at least get a draw at home. What's
your thought? Yeah, I mean, listen, it's going to be a difficult game. I think Guardiola has already said his, you know, his appreciation he has for what they're doing, Pochettino's doing, and the way Tottenham play. It's a difficult game for any team going away. The pitch might be a bit of a leveller for certain players tonight, but as me and Sharpie said, it's the same for both teams, isn't it? I would expect. It's a difficult one to call.
I know, because we beat them there, didn't we? So it's kind of the Man City will probably want to replicate what we've done.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we have to, because of the way they won the league and by how many points they won, we have to stay close to them or as close to them as possible. But I just think it's always a difficult game, Tottenham now against Pochettino, because they're so well organised, so well. It wouldn't surprise me if Spurs won the game. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Man City go there and win comfortably. Mm. That's the kind of games these can be against, you know, Guardiola. Yeah. He's had time to prepare for this game, extra couple of days. He'll have his team right. But like you say again, you know, Spurs have got the players under him that can also hurt you. I mean, listen, I'm hoping that Spurs do get a result, but
yeah, me too.
You know, they're not that far behind us either. I mean, obviously for us,
how did I know you think you'd say that? How did I know the two of you would say that? Yeah,
no, I think Guardiola changed his tune a little bit as well in the pre-match press conference, because he called Tottenham a one-man team, didn't he?
Yeah,
Harry Kane, and he's gone back against that now.
I think for us, you know, going into the weekend game, obviously Arsenal away, that's our next big test, isn't it? We've had a few games where we've been expected to win. We had the poor result, obviously, with Napoli, but this weekend might be a bit of where we're at now. You know, this position will be 11 games into the season, I think it is, on the weekend.
Well, I don't
away
know, did you hear what Paul Mason's comments was about Arsenal on Soccer Saturday? What? He said they're like a boxer that hasn't been punched on the chin yet.
Well, no,
playing all these easy teams.
I think you're right. I think Arsenal defensively can be exposed, and I think we will expose them. But obviously they have got a threat if Ozil's on his game, and you know, Lacazette and Aubameyang's on form. But I think Saturday we'll really see where Liverpool. If Liverpool can go to Arsenal at the weekend and get a big result, people will start standing up there and saying, right, they are a real chance.
I think we will. Can I just have one more point, just to Sharp, because I wanted to get on the Thursday when they were talking about Everton's ground and moving across. But I just wanted your thoughts, really, because obviously, you know, it would be a prestigious move for Everton moving to the Albert Dock, and that's all well and good. But I was just thinking, I mean, obviously, I've lived in the city all my life, and I know Everton pretty, you know, I mean, they struggle to fill the ground that they're in now. Obviously, they do the half.
They don't struggle. If you can look at the attendances, they've been sold out for the last 2 years.
Come on.
No, and they're mostly Scousers that go, so there's enough Scousers in there. They don't have to rely on Norwegians.
Fill the ground in now.
You just wait and see. Don't you be worrying about Everton's ground. You look after yourself.
No, I'm not worrying. I just think that, you know, it's a massive risk to the council.
How's it a massive risk? Hold on, how's it a massive risk to the council? Oh, get him off, he's a muppet. Get him off.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call. I thought, is he going to make a point?
He started off quite well, but he just became a muppet.
He was spot on, Steve.
Mm. In terms of that game tonight, how many touchdowns each do you think they're going to see? Because they're still playing on the NFL pitch from last night.
Yeah.
How has that been allowed to happen? How can you play NFL games on a Sunday, then play a Premier League game on a Monday?
Well, that's Wembley.
Anthony Joshua on a Tuesday, Taylor Swift on a Wednesday.
Yeah, it's Wembley. That's the arrangements they've got with them, and they can't cancel that. I mean, that's been something that's been there for a while, and then obviously Tottenham are not moving into the new stadium. They have to go along with what Wembley do, and they've had to
be honest, I'm quite looking forward to seeing it if I get home in time to see, you know, to see how, if it is that bad and how the players adapt to it, because as a top player, you don't always get a perfect pitch. I know in the Premier League, they're all like carpet, but sometimes, you know what? Don't mind a bit, you know what I mean, Sharpie? Especially, you know, I mean, I'm not saying in my day, but when I played in the 90s, the pitches weren't brilliant. You just have to adapt. You work on your touch. You have to make sure your touch is right and don't take chances. So hopefully it is a little bit of a
level. It'll be interesting to see them don't take chances, especially at the back,
exactly.
You know, the way City
the way
play.
They play, yeah.
It's Radio City Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk. We're back to the phone lines next. 7:10, my name's Mick Coyle. It's the Radio City Legends. In for John Aldridge tonight, we've got representing the Reds, Dom Matteo. And because you're doing that, Dom, it means you've got to play the quiz. Sharpie's here for the Blues as well. Sharpie, are you right? 6-2 up at the moment?
Yes, I am, yes.
Are you feeling comfortable?
I won last time I was on.
That was the second point you got. That was the second point. I think you won the first time as well.
Two,
Right, so this will make it 6-3. You'll glory back to halfway there if you can do it tonight.
That may make it 7-2.
Probably will.
It might do. Right, I've got the questions lined up.
Let Dom go first.
Right, there's some belters, first of all. Is. Oh, hello. It's a Halloween special.
What is this?
Can you believe it?
This is our quiz music.
Oh, it is, yeah. Right. What film is this from?
Hang on, I'll do the questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's not our first question, is it?
Oh, yeah. Can you remember this?
No. This is The Exorcist, right?
Or is it? I thought it was The Exorcist. No, I think somebody... No, it was. Christian? It was The Exorcist, yeah.
Producer Christian says, yeah. Right. Pick a number between 1 and 6.
Go on, Dom.
5, please.
Who is this mystery voice?
Oh, you're good at this.
Hang on, I'll just kill the Exorcist.
Put it
for
on
a
then,
second.
Mate.
It's Metroid.
Won this game in.
Oh, there you go.
Didn't
hang on. One more time.
I
one more
hear
time.
Is the music?
You should have won this game in.
Can I hear it again, please?
No.
Well, come on. Come on, one more.
Strict.
One more.
I haven't got it. It's disappeared.
You should have won this game.
No. French player, who thinks.
Hey, hold on a minute.
Well, there was clearly a French accent.
You know it as well, don't
you? No, I don't. You should have won this game.
Don't know, mate.
Just pick a French player.
Right, well, still playing.
Oh, come on, what's going on here?
Anyone French? René from Hello,
Vieira.
Hello. Patrick Vieira is incorrect. We were looking for...
Pires?
Paul Pogba was the answer we were looking for. No. Producer Christian will line it up. We'll hear it again in a second.
Well, the Man United question, don't he?
Pick a number. Pick a number between 1 and 6. It's not 5.
I'll go 6.
Fulham crashed to another defeat at the weekend. Name 4 players from their first team squad.
Bettinelli.
1.
Mitrovic.
2.
Ream. Tim Ream.
Tim Ream. 3.
And Sessegnon.
It's 4. There you go. 1 to the Blues. There you go. You score yourself a point. Normally when that happens, I press this button. Hang on.
Oh! What a goal! Oh! Oh!
1-0 to the Blues. Don't pick a number.
Number 1, mate, please.
Who is currently the Premier League's leading goal scorer?
Sadio Mane.
You look at that. That's
right in the ankle.
Horrible little man that is, I tell you.
Aguero.
Aubameyang.
Aubameyang.
1-0 to the Blues. Sharpie, pick a number.
2.
Right, it's got more music. Name the band.
Oh, here we go.
Or song.
Yeah.
One more time.
Yeah.
That's dead easy, that, Sharpie. That's really easy.
Final countdown.
Do you know the answer, Dom?
Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. You're not
living
having...
on a prayer, yes.
There
sorry.
You go. They're coming to Anfield as part of their new tour.
You don't get a point for that.
You don't get a point for that one. Still, 1.
Number 3.
True or false, an emu cannot fly?
True.
Hold on.
And Aldridge!
What kind of question is that?
1-1.
Have
one,
you been
one.
An all day, Christian?
Is that late night again?
Right.
Hold a minute.
That was... Dom's last chance, so he's got 1. So it's 1-1 at the moment. Sharpie, you can actually steal this now.
Yeah.
With question number 4, you'll be pleased to know it's about the Reds. Sadio Mane has 6 Premier League goals so far this season. How many Premier League goals did he score in his debut season for Southampton? They actually gave this away on Match of the Day at the weekend. Sadio Mane has scored 6 Premier League goals so far this season. How many Premier League goals did he score in his debut season for Southampton?
It's a guess, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
5.
No, that's a wrong decision, referee.
The answer was 10.
I was going to say 10.
Which means it's 1-1. Do we have it? Does just nobody get any points whatsoever? Oh, we get the bonus round.
So this is...
Oh, heck.
Buzzer, on the buzzer.
No, it's not. It's higher or lower.
Higher or lower. Okay.
No, it's not.
Is it not? Okay.
No, no. This is there's one answer, so the first one to give me the answer gets the point.
And you only get one chance at your answer?
You only get one shot,
right?
Like JLS used to say.
Right.
What club has been promoted to the Premier League but never been relegated?
Hmm.
What club has been promoted to the Premier League but never been relegated?
Promoted to the Premier League.
Brighton.
You look at that. That's
one. Oh, right in the ankle.
Horrible little man that is.
So Sharpie, you've got chance here. You've got a chance. What happens if nobody gets the tiebreaker? There's no score, is there? It just rolls over.
Promoted to the Premiership at Huddersfield.
That sounds like the right answer, but apparently...
Absolutely shambolic.
I'm being told that's the wrong answer.
When did Brighton get relegated from the Premier League?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the guy who's written the quiz here.
They're both right.
In Premier League history.
Hang on a minute.
That is a bad one, that.
Producer Christian, this one's for you.
He did, and he saved it and made history.
We'll call it a draw tonight.
First time ever that a penalty kick has not been converted in the FA Cup final here.
Christian, you've had a nightmare. It says you're right with that EMU one. Yeah.
It's on the Premier League.
There you go. The answer that Christian written down incorrectly was AFC Bournemouth. But I think you both deserve a round of applause for that one.
Yeah.
That is why I hate doing this quiz. Oh, Phil's going to bail us out. Phil, bail us out here, pal. Phil's in Prescott. He wants to talk about Everton. Evening, Phil. You're on with Dom and Sharpie. You've got to rescue the show from this point on, pal.
Evening, boys. I apologise. I haven't heard what's gone on.
Well, you haven't missed much, Phil.
What I wanted to touch on, Sharpie, is it because it was that Old Trafford, that Smalling, for that lunge tackle, didn't even get a yellow card? Anywhere else in any other ground, he would have probably got a yellow card or even a red.
Well, somebody said that the referee refereed last week and he booked somebody for the exact same thing, but then he doesn't book Smalling, which is it's unbelievable.
Consistency.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, we said before, Idrissa Gueye was walking a tightrope. He could possibly have got a second yellow card. But I don't know whether he's thought, I've let them off for that, so I'm going to let Smalling. Which is wrong, because Smalling's was a second yellow, and he should have gone. But it's just the inconsistencies of referees. We talk about it every week. The Premier League's improved in so many areas, but the one area for me is the refereeing. There was no referees or English referees in the World Cup this year.
Nope.
That tells you something in itself. And I just think this guy in particular, I can't see.
Man United players though do get in the referees' ears more than most.
Yes.
I think Everton have to learn a little bit from that. Certain clubs get in the referees' ear, get in the face. Sometimes it just helps you get that odd decision. And
yeah,
I think Man United have been doing it for years, haven't they? They had a few doing it the weekend. Ashley Young was doing it. But you want to see a few of the Everton boys doing that, you know, get into the
good
ref.
Point.
You know, but even before the game, you used to go and speak to the ref. You can have a little word with them and try and get them on your side if you can.
I still think, Sharpie, as well, we lack an out-and-out leader. But what I was going to touch on as well, Richarlison had a complete stinky.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not knocking the kid, because everybody's got him built up to be superb and what have you. What I was going to say, and I've said it to you before on the show, Sharpie, Walcott wasn't having a great game.
No.
So why not put Richarlison out wide and Walcott, like I've said, through the middle, where he scored 22 goals for Arsenal? Or why not even say to Walcott, look, you're more of an impact player, and let's get Calvert-Lewin a proper run in the team for 5 or 6 games? Because we were good enough to do it when we lost Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah.
We were good enough to say, right, Calvin, you're up there on your own. You're a bit of a kid, but you have to just get on with it. Now the kid's got a bit of creativity around him. Why not give the lad 4 or 5 weeks and say, here's your big chance here, son. It's a young team. Let's see what you can do.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I think you're spot on. I said before the game yesterday, I thought if he was going to make a change, the change would be Richarlison out left, possibly drop the boy Bernard, and bring in either Tosin or Calvert-Lewin. You know, I thought it might have been Tosin, but okay. But no, Calvert-Lewin, we talk about Calvert-Lewin. I know a lot of people, you know, give him a hard time. But I tend to agree with you. I think he knows the position better than Richarlison does. He can play that position better than Richarlison can. And I was a little bit surprised that, you know, they went with Richarlison up top. He struggles with his back to goal in the situation where it's a physical battle. Although the boy's physical himself, he's more confident going out wide, whether it be right, left or whatever. I think he's got to play a centre-forward at centre-forward as a 9. I don't think Richarlison's a 9. I think Tosin is, and I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin is. So I agree with you 100%, but What do you think he might go in January and try and get another striker? Having said that, Tosin and Walcott weren't his signings. You know, they were Sam Allardyce's signings. Do you think he may well go into the market?
Well, I'd like to think he's cute enough, the players he's brought in. I mean, Gomez looks like, as time goes on, be a revelation. But, I mean, I was a bit peeved off. I don't know whether you heard the commentary yesterday.
No.
And I forget he was commentating on the game, and he was talking about Gomez. I think it was Gary Neville, actually.
Yeah.
And his comment was, Everton were lucky to get him. Gomez, I ever could have rung Gary Neville up and said, what are you talking about, pal? I said, but, yeah, I think Tosin's had his chance.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got to stick with what we've got at the moment. That's what I'm saying about Calvert-Lewin. Yeah, he's got to go and get a striker that hits the ground running in the Prem.
Yeah.
Not a foreign striker that's going to come in and take 6 weeks to get, 10 weeks to get. We need a striker that's languishing round on someone's bench. I don't know who it might be. It'll give you goals straight away.
Yeah.
Because that game yesterday, it could have gone either way. And you look at last season, Sharp. You know, we got a drumming.
Yeah.
And yesterday, we competed. Yeah. We made mistakes. I mean, the penalty, you should have just shepherded them out. The same as their penalty. That was just a lapse in silliness. He should have just seen them out, not touched them. Because my mate says to me, it wasn't a pen. Listen, if you make contact in the box, we've said it before, and a player goes down, and you can't shout he's a cheat. I mean, have a little look at Calvert-Lewin at Anfield last season.
Oh, definite penalty. Definite penalty.
Well, there you go, Sam. He got the feet to touch it. So they'll all do it. It's in the
exactly.
game.
Exactly.
It wasn't in your game in your day. No. You probably want to turn around and chin who's ever kicked you. Yeah. That's a different kettle.
No, but the thing is, we talked about it before, the game has changed, and we criticise referees, but they have a hard job. I understand that. But I was saying to one of the callers earlier on, it's a difficult job because the players don't help them, because they now go down, you know, if you just brush alongside them, they fall over and they try to con the referee. So we all know it's a difficult job for the referee. But going back to the Everton thing, if we can get that. But I think there was a lot of positives to take from yesterday. I think we created a lot of chances, and I agree with you. The boy Gomez, I think Neville had him at Valencia before he went to Barcelona, and I think he questioned him mentally, where he thought maybe Barcelona was too big for him. I don't know what he said there, but kind of thing. But I thought he improved second half especially. I thought he shows what an outstanding player he is. So no, a lot more positives than negatives for me.
All right, Phil, thanks for the call, pal. Is there anything in that about Everton being a little bit, not naive, but a little bit too nice? There was a moment in the second half where Pogba goes down with an injury and Everton kick the ball out of play.
Yeah.
And you think, that's what you don't do that, do you?
There was nothing wrong with the player.
Well, it was Paul Pogba, so nobody, you know, you can make up your own mind as to whether or not you wanted to offer him any sympathy.
Don made a really good point there, you know, about getting round. Ashley Young was in the referee's face. I think it might have been for the Idrissa Gueye one to try and get him sent off. And as it happened, the same thing with Smalling, there was no reaction from the Everton players. So, yeah, and I agree with Phil, what you said as well. You can become too nice, and I think we are a nice side at the moment.
There's Where's that voice going to come from?
Well, you look through the side and you look at... It's a quiet side. You know, and you're looking at probably the most vociferous is Jordan Pickford. You know, I think the rest of them are quiet lads. You know, so you don't see, like, is there a natural born leader in there? I'm not sure.
It's a bit of a partnership form, isn't it, between Zouma and Kane? I think that's a positive. I know, you know, they're going to make a clean sheet, but, you know, that's something you can build upon, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can build that solid base in front of Jordan.
Yeah, Zouma's been good. Kane's been excellent as well. Good to see him back performing and know what he was capable of.
Cheers, before you let us go, I've just got some images of Wembley from tonight. Poor. The NFL lads have really done a number on that field. For some reason, they're watering it. It looks underwater. They need Alan Titchmarsh down there or something, because that pitch is in an absolute
state.
You don't
want to see, no disrespect, don't want to see NFL on a Premier League game, too. I don't think the Premier League will be too happy about that either.
Maybe they were to charge him more for the branding being in a big Premier League game as well. But certainly one to keep your eye on tonight. There's still last minute work on that to go on there, but the gridiron is still very much on the pitch at Wembley. It looks a right old state. Don't forget, on Radio City Talk, Steve Hothersall's back with the kickoff tomorrow morning from 7 a.m. and the Radio City legends are here Thursday from 6:30. Get your phone calls lined up for then.